Rishos the Menayel, Rishos the Roshiva, Rishos the Rabbanim, Rishos all the Rebbeim from Yeshiva, from their academy, all the Rabbanim in Yishtat, Rishos all the Talmidei HaYeshiva, Rishos Kalkar HaKadosh Hazeh. I'm just going to speak for a few minutes. I was asked just to give a few introductory remarks. I just want to share the following idea. We're in a terrible Eis Tzara. What is it that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants from us? What does he expect from us? What message is he sending us? So the Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchos Tainis, in his introduction to Hilchos Tainis, says, Mitzvah Saseh Achas. In Hilchos Tainis, there's one mitzvah, Saseh Daraisa. And that mitzvah is Lizoik Lefnei Hashem, to cry out to Hashem, B'chol Eis Tzara Gedola, whenever there's a Tzara Gedola, Shelo Tavo Al HaTzibur, Shad He couldn't, Shad It should not come on the Tzibur. The Ribbono Shel Olam gives us a mitzvah, Saseh, in Parshas Balosra, a mitzvah, Saseh, that when there's an Eis Tzara, there's a mitzvah, deraisa, to call out, to cry out to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So what's the purpose of that? It goes deeper than that. So the Rambam writes, "V'davar zeh midarkei hatshuvah," and this has to do with tshuva. Why? Shebizman shetavo tzara v'yizaku alav v'yariu. When a tzara comes and we cry out to Hashem, and they used to blow chatzotras. Yedu hakol shebeklal maseim haroyim huraleh. People will then realize when we're crying out to Hashem, that will cause us to focus on the Siba, on the reason why the things are happening. Why is the Tzara coming? Because of the maaseim haroyim huraleh kakasav amaseichem hitu. V'zeu sheyigram lahem. So the idea is that if we call out to Hashem, then we should that will lead us to recognize, to understand, and to internalize that what is happening to us is not just a mikra. It didn't happen by itself. It is Ribbono Shel Olam who is doing it to us in order for us to change that which needs to be changed, to do tshuva and to return to Him. And the Rambam says that if we don't do that, and we think that whatever is happening, we think the Tzara, we don't associate the Tzara with the Ribbono Shel Olam, then we will be guilty of what it says in the Teichacha, V'halachta mimi b'keri, and Hashem says, V'halachim rachem b'chamas keri. That the whole idea is that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to realize that this is coming from Him. And if it's coming from Him, there's a reason why it's coming. And that reason is because we're not where we should be, and we need to do tshuva and to return to Hashem. And He wants us to be zoek, to cry out, and to ask the Ribbono Shel Olam for a hatzalah from the tzara, and to do tshuva and to change and to make ourselves better. The pasuk says in Pasha Shoftim, that when by a melchama, there was a kohen meshuach melchama, a kohen that was designated to be the kohen, what's called the kohen meshuach melchama, and he would talk to the troops when they would go out. Va'amar aleihem, and he would say to them, Shema Yisrael, atem krevim hayom la'melchama aleichem. Shema Yisrael, listen, Yisrael, meaning the soldiers, you are coming close, you are approaching the war on your enemies. And he gives them a pep talk that they should rely on the Ribbono Shel Olam, they shouldn't be afraid. So Rashi quotes the Gemara in Saita. Shema Yisrael. Why does he use these words, Shema Yisrael? Afilu ein b'chem schus ela kriya shema b'vad. If the only schus that you have is the fact that you say kriya shema, kedai atem sheyoshia eschem. That in and of itself is kedai. That is, for that reason alone, you are worthy to be spared and to be saved and to be victorious in the Muhammad. So what does that mean? Simply by the fact that we say Kriya Shema, that in itself is a reason to be matzliach, to be victorious in the war. The Pashas, it means if we internalize what Shema Yisrael means. And what does Shema Yisrael mean? First of all, it means Anocha Hashem Elokecha. We have to have a muna that there is a Ribon Shem who created the world, took us out of Mitzrayim, everything that he did, and Lo Yalocha Elohim Acherim, and there's no other force, and there's Yichud Ad Hashem, that Hashem is Echad, which means that he is the Siba for all the Sibas, everything that's happening, he is the Gorim, he is the one that is putting everything into motion. And Mamele, that's the same idea that the Rambam is saying. That the Rambam is saying our purpose the purpose of the Eitz Hara is to awaken us to realize that we have problems and that the Tzara is coming from the Ribono Shel Olam. And the more we recognize and realize and internalize that everything that's happening is coming from Him, that's what Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad means, that everything is, Hashem is the Mesovet, He's making everything happen. And therefore if we realize that and recognize that, then that alone is kedai, is enough of a zchus in order to be matzliach. In fact, we say in davening, in tachanun, we say Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, and we say Ha'omrim Shema Yisrael. The zchus of that Hashem should be Shema Yisrael is the fact that we say Shema Yisrael. And Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, why? Ha'miyachadim Shimcha Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That we're miyachad Hashem, that we recognize that He is the Meselvav, He is the one that's doing everything. And that yediyah, and that understanding, and to understand it profoundly and internally, that idea is enough that He should be the Shem Yisrael, that He should save us from everything. So we have to realize that what the Ribono Shel Olam wants from us is that He wants tefillah and He wants tshuva and He wants us to do something better than we're doing. But He also wants us, and this is the main thing, He wants us to realize that everything that's happening is happening from Him. And the schus of that can be matzalas. It says in this week's Haftarah, the marble is called Mei Noyach. Yeshaya Hanavi refers to the marble that's taking place in this week's Pasha as the waters of Noyach. So Chazal say, why is it called Mei Noyach? Because Noach should have been mispalel for his dar, and he wasn't mispalel for his dar. So to a certain degree, Noach is accountable and is held accountable for the marble. It's called Mei Noach. He caused the marble by not davening. So we have to realize that Chas V'Shalom, we have to be mispalel, and we have to do whatever we can, and it's not easy to be mispalel, but we have to put our koyches into it and try to give it our all, because Chas V'Shalom, we should not be the goreim, that our lack of tefillah is goreim anything that happens in Eretz Yisrael. I heard from our mashgiach, David Kronglas, a guy named Vatzadik, David Kronglas, who used to say that when the tzibur is saying Tehillim, for a chayla, and someone walks out, that's akin to lo samod al dam riecha. In other words, you see someone drowning, chas v'shalom, and you don't go to save him, that's an isser deraisa of lo samod al dam riecha. Don't allow a person to drown. So he said, when the tzibur is saying tilim for something, and you don't take part in it, so like it's akin, it's not exactly, but it's ka'ein. You're not participating, you're not doing what you should be doing to help the situation. So number one, we have to realize that the Ribono Shel Olam wants us to daven. And davening means that He wants us to recognize that He is the one that is Mesovev, and He is the one who caused everything that's happening to happen. And the reason why it's happening is because of Amasei Maroyim, that we're not where we should be. And therefore we should look for areas where we can improve ourselves. And we should recognize that hakara alone, that the Ribono Shel Olam is doing everything, is enough also for us to, if we internalize it, it's enough for us to remove the tzara from Klal Yisrael. And Chas V'Shalom, we shouldn't be in a situation where we're not participating in the tefillahs. It shouldn't be Mei Noach, it shouldn't be that we are responsible by our lack of doing what we should be doing, that we should, Chas V'Shalom, not be responsible for anything that's happening. It's a great cover for us to have the Mashgiach of Tel Shiv in Chicago, who came specially to give Divrei Hesoros. I thank you very much on behalf of the Tzibur. And now we will hear Divrei Hesoros from the Mashgiach of Tel Shiv.
Thank Rosh Koil. Poisim Bekover Achsanya. Thank the Yeshiva of Minneapolis for arranging this evening, an evening of Osiris, an evening of Tefillah. This is the right thing to do during these trying times. Not only is it the right thing to do, but it's the only thing to do. Together, to cry out to Hashem, to listen to Divrei Hesoros. And as the Rosh Koil mentioned, that is the recipe that the Rambam sets forth for us in these types of situations. And Brishos, Rabbona Machashuvim, Rosh Yeshiva, Ramim, Yungalait, all the Nesofim HaKadoshim, Khan, including Talmidei Yeshiva. Not going to be saying any Chidushim, any novel ideas. What we've heard from the Rosh Koil is truly enough, but maybe just to elaborate on what he said, and maybe to add a few thoughts. What happened right after the Yom Tov of Sukkot, terrible tragedy that befell Am Yisrael? What happened? Obviously, something l'mayla min ha-teva, something above natural causes took place. Am Yisrael has, to a great degree, residence in Eretz Yisrael. And the residents of Eretz Yisrael, fortunately, with Siyata Deshmaya, over the past few decades, have been able to develop some sort of a system of protection when the Oyevim, when the enemies want to begin to devour us. A system of protection, a system of detection, and it all failed. Why? How did that happen? One of the most vaunted defense forces on the planet failed? Aboisai, nothing failed. Like the Rambam says, this was the Ratzon Hashem. For some reason. This was the Ratzon Hashem. But besides everything else, it's very possible that Hashem wanted us, meaning the Jewish world, to see what He does for us on a daily basis, on a moment basis, on a second basis. Every day, 24/7, for 70 plus years, our enemies want to destroy each and every one of us. But Hashem protects us. And if Hashem lo yishmor ir, shov shokad shomer. Hashem protects us. And if Hashem is not there for one reason or another, just for one moment, look what could happen. Hashem opened up our eyes. And He showed those that had vision. This is what could happen every second for 70 years. Why didn't it? Only because Hashem is the Shomer Yisrael. And for one moment, Hashem decided He's going to remove the Shmira, remove the protection. And this is what happened. We see clearly that the main defense force of Am Yisrael is the Shomer Yisrael, the Rabbeinu Shel Himself. The Rish Kol mentioned holy words of the Navi in this week's Haftarah. But this week's Haftarah is very telling, Rabbeisai. The Navi Yeshaya says, Berega koto in azavtich, I left you for one moment. It doesn't say rega. Rega koton, a small moment. Beshetzef ketzef histarti ponai rega mimcha, says the Navi, b'shem Hashem. I removed myself for but 1 second. And what happened afterwards was a shetzef of ketzef. Was a tremendous degree of what looked to be like some sort of a terrible anger. The Navi says that Hashem tells us, look what happens with just one rega, one moment, when I removed myself. It's a shetzef ketzef. It seems as if an unstoppable flow, of ketzef, of anger, and of din. And therefore, we should be able to see from that alone, and we should be able to get from this concept alone, a tremendous degree of strengthening in our belief, strengthening in our emunah. Why didn't this take place 2 months ago, 2 years ago? All the time. Because Hashem is there to protect every yid. This took place. It's a terrible, horrible event. Unprecedented. In almost a century. But there are instances where there were people that became closer to Hashem because of this. If we have, again, our eyes open, we see Hashgacha. Whether it's the young man who I happen to know, who was stationed in the army base, right near Sderot. And he completed his army duty but 2 days before Sukkot. And he was sent home to the United States. And he arrived home Erev Sukkot. And he heard after Yom Tov how his base was overrun by these wild animals. Hashgacha Pratis, it changed him totally. He became closer to Hashem within the past few weeks. Or whether it is the story of the young man who attended that concert in the southern part of Eretz Yisrael instead of being other places. but he had previously made a commitment to himself and to Hashem. Somebody got a hold of his soul. Somebody from some blessed organization convinced him that l'chol apochus, at least, if he's not shomer Torah mitzvahs, but it should be shomer Shabbat. And he accepted upon himself that he's going to be shomer Shabbos, not to do malachas on Shabbos. And he found himself in the concert. He was attracted to the music, for whatever it was, a paying customer. And he realized, I made a commitment, Shabbat. What am I doing here? And he left, he ran out, and he went away. And a few hours later, lo yaleinu, the tragedy, the horrible tragedy took place, and he was saved because of his commitment to Shabbos, commitment to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. I heard the story from Rabbi Katz from Cleveland. He's a changed young man now. There are instances where people became Bali Emunah, Bali Betochim, because of this tragedy. We have to be able to see what's in front of our eyes and what took place. Why did it happen? There's none of us who could know. If we would know, we would be similar to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. We can't know. How could we know the ways of Hashem? Hashem, His mahalich, His ways, His anhoga, the way He does things in this world, transcend our abilities to understand. But, like the Rish Kol said, Hashem is talking to us. Chavetz Chaim used to say that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam has a language that he speaks to the world and to Am Yisrael in particular. And it's called Himmelsprach, which means the language of heaven. And when a calamity of this magnitude takes place, Hashem is speaking to us. And what's he telling us? What are we supposed to focus on? We don't have a Navi. The Navi, there is no Navi to tell us what particular ideal we have to believe, what particular Avera to stay away from. There is no Navi. So if the Rabbeinu Shel Olam does these things during our time, in Tovshin Pei Dalet, so he's speaking our language, a language that we could understand, which is, he's speaking to us, which is, be a better Yid. In any possible way. Do mitzvahs better. Do more mitzvahs. More chesed. More tzedakah. More tefillah. More Torah. Whatever we could understand, that's what Hashem is telling us. And we have to daven, as was said. But the question is asked by anybody and everybody. We have to daven. What have we been doing for the whole Chodesh Elul? What were we doing in Aseres Yemei Tshuva? What was Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim all about? We said Avinu Malkeinu. Untold times. Twice a day. Hofer Atzas Oyveinu. Hashem, please foil all the plans of our terrible enemies. Doesn't seem like it worked. They had plans, and the plans were not foiled. It would seem like. Does it mean that our prayers were for naught? Does it mean our tefillos were not answered? Can't be. First of all, not always is every tefillah answered right away. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam has reasons, and he has a cheshbon why he needs to save this tefillah for a later date, a later year, a later decade, and a later century. The Stipel of Goyim writes in his Sefer, and he quotes a Medrash, in Medrash Shmuel, it says that sometime a tefillah is not answered for 100 years. Yesh tefillah she'inenes l'mea shana. Sometimes 50 years, 30 years. But there's no tefillah that's wasted. Do we understand the ways of God? Why did Hashem not use the tefillah for Tavshin Pei Daled? We can't know. But the tefillah is not wasted. Those tefillahs weren't wasted. Hashem wanted this to take place here and now. And the tefillahs will help for a different time. But Rabbi said there's another thought. And that is that who says that the purpose of every tefillah is that it should be answered? Who says that when the Rabbeinu Shalom gave us a mitzvah of la'ovdei b'chol levavchem, that we have to daven to Hashem, or a mitzvah that we have to cry out in the time of a eis tzora, that we have to be mispalel, we have to pray to Hashem in difficult times, which according to the Rishonim is a mitzvah deraisa? Who says that the purpose is that it should be answered? The Beis Elikim's, which is the magnum opus of the Mabit, he writes in the Shara Tefillah, Lo yhoiso tachlis ha-tefillah kedei she-yeneh, she-yeoneh. The purpose of prayer is not that it should be answered. The purpose of crying out to Hashem, Hofer atzas oyveinu, and Shema Kaleinu, is lahoiros, is to teach us, she-ein ba-oilam, Lemi Sharoy Lispalel, El Hashem Yisbarach. The reason why we have to daven is because we have to reinforce into ourselves that there is no entity in the world to pray to except Hashem. Whether He answers or He doesn't answer. The tachlis, the purpose of the mitzvah of tefillah is to be mechazek our belief. There's nobody who can fill our needs besides Hashem. And we reinforce that by davening and davening. And lav davke has to be answered. Hashem has cheshbonos why He needs the tefillah for a later date. So then, the question is, So then, if we're davening now, who says it's going to help? Say, well, we got to do something, so we're going to daven. But who says davening is going to help? If the tachlis of the davening is just the mechazek emuna, who says it's going to destroy the enemy's military? Rabbosai, this is different. This fight is different. The Medrash tells us in Pirkei Rabbeinu, why was Yishmael's name called as such? Why did Avram call his son Yishmael? So the Medrash says, Lochei Mikra Yishmael, Sha'asidim Yisrael Litzoik Tza'akos Gedoylois. He's called Yishmael because later on, there's going to come a time when the Jewish people are going to suffer greatly at the hand of Yishmael, the descendants of Yishmael. And because of their suffering that is presented to us by Yishmael, we're going to cry out to Hashem. And va'oz yishmeim kel v'ya'anem. Hashem will listen. He will answer. So Avraham Avinu, with Siyata Deshmaya, called his son Yishmael, because Yishmael is going to cause us to daven tefillas that will be answered. The Mabitz Yisoid is a Yisoid Nemon, that whether we're answered or not, we daven to reinforce our emuna. But when it comes to fighting Yishmael, the tefillas will be answered. It's our responsibility if that's the case. That we have to daven. The Bote Knesios, the Bote Midrashos, this is where it's at. These are the front lines. There can be no dereliction of duty if we don't cry out to Hashem properly. Then there's no Yishmeim and there's no Ya'anim. But if we do, then we have this purpose of Yishmael. That's what he's here for. And this purpose will be fulfilled. In most Bote Knesios, this Shabbos, there's a special Misha Be'er that's going to be recited in Shul. We make a Misha Be'er for all those that are going to accept upon themselves to fast on the Monday and the Thursday and Monday that's coming up. The Tainus of Bahab. Well-known Tainus brought in Shulchan Aruch. A Tainus that's fasted after the days of Sukkot and after the days of Pesach. Most of us don't have the ability to fast Monday, Thursday, Monday. And Talmidei Chachamim probably are not allowed to fast Monday, Thursday, Monday. However, the Mishnah Berurah says, so you're not fasting, so you don't fast. But who says you're potter from saying Shlichus? How could you skip saying the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim? The 13 different character traits and attributes that the Pasuk says about the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, that Hashem gave Moshe a commitment, Beris Kerusa, a covenant, a guarantee of sorts, that when you didn't cry out the Yud Gimel Midos, that Hashem listens. If we have that opportunity, we have to use it. It is our duty. It is purported to have been said by the Brisker Rav, repeated by his son, Reb David Salvechik Zatzal, that he doesn't understand. He says that there are people that don't say Yud Gimel Midos during the time of war. How can it be? He said, is there any guarantee that every tank is going to fire properly? Is there any guarantee that every armored vehicle won't be destroyed? There is no guarantee. There's no pasuk that says that the tanks won't be destroyed and the tanks won't misfire. However, Zogt Brisker Rav, there is a guarantee that if a person says Yud Gimel Midos, he cries out Yud Gimel Midos to Hashem, Hashem listens and sends a Yeshua. Said the Brisker Rav, the Yud Gimel Midos that are said is like 1,000 tanks. That's our strength, and therefore that's our duty, and that's our responsibility. We have the ability during these times to become Bali B'tochen, to strengthen the concepts of putting our trust in Hashem if we see that everything else didn't seem to work properly. But trust in Hashem is the order of the day. there is a minig which is brought by the Maral, and it's even brought before that by the Sefer Achinuch, that the Sefer Achinuch writes that there's a custom to say psukim that have to do with betochen on a daily basis. The Chinuch writes in Mitzvah Tov Kuf Yud Beis to say the capital. Oima Hashem Morabu Tzoroi in Capital Tzadi Aleph. And similar prokim in Tehillim. And there are sforim that are written, ganz in a sforim, complete books, volumes, with the psukim that are a collection of psukim of betochen from Tanakh, a collection of verses that reinforce our trust and faith in Hashem. And there became a minig, the Chinuch says it, as we quote it, and the Maral writes it, a minig to say on a daily basis, psukim of betochen, over and over again, to recite these psukim, to strengthen our resolve that we have to be maiminim and ba'al betochen. The Chavetz Yoreh's father lived in the community of Leipnik, and he writes in his memoirs that there was a terrible event that took place. It seems as if that the Kehila at large, the general community of Leipnik in Europe, was captured by enemies. And they were suffering in captivity. And they didn't know what their fate was going to be. So he writes over there, in his memoirs, so we said the psukim of betochen. We chose psukim that deal betochen and Hashem. And he writes as follows. In the year Tov Beis, we were captured by the hands of a terrible enemy. And the city was completely in turmoil. And the inhabitants were all captured. And they were going to be taken away to a distant land. And we were stuck in this situation for 10 weeks. 10 weeks, and we were in a situation where we were rife with famine and want. We had nothing. We couldn't meet our needs. We couldn't have food. We didn't have anything to drink. And you could imagine the matzav. But he ends off by saying, "Lulei Hashem shehoyolanu gavanu avadnu kulanu." If not for Hashem who was with us, we would have been destroyed. And he writes, therefore, since we said the psukim, we recited these psukim, these verses of betochen, on a daily basis, that's what gave us the ability to be saved and spared. And the Rebbeinu Shem saved us. We could do the same. We could say psukim of betochen. We could say kapitel tzari aleph. We could say kapitel mem dalet. We look at Kapitel Mem Dalet, Dovid HaMelech writes, Ki loy bekashti evtoch, v'chabi loy soshieni. My weaponry will not save me. Not my keshes, my whatever the weaponry that's used during that time, that era. Doesn't matter. He's talking about a keshes, a bow and arrow. It's the same thing. It's just like a missile. That's not what's going to save me. I don't put my trust in the tank. I don't put my trust in the cherev. What do I put my trust in? Be'leikim. Hirashatonu mitzareinu. You, Hashem, saved me. David HaMelech teaches us how the nation of Israel is supposed to think during time of war. And these psukim, as we recite them, we strengthen ourselves. Or if a person would read how David HaMelech talks to Hashem in Kapitel Kuf Chav Dalet in the Shir HaMaalos 124, and he ends off the Kapitel by stating, Ozreinu b'shem Hashem oisei shemayim v'oretz. Hashem is the one who created the heavens and the earth, and our help, our salvation lies in God's name and Hashem's name, because He created the heaven and the earth. Reb Chaim Vital writes in his Sefer that this Kapitel Kuf Chav Dalet, David HaMelech is referring to the fight against Yishmael in particular. We recite this Kapitel during these times. That's our duty. And we say, Oisei Shemayim V'oretz, Hashem who made the heavens and the earth, He is the one who's going to save us from this enemy. And Reb Chaim Vital continues and he says, Oisei Shemayim V'oretz, why did David HaMelech select that attribute? Because why did God make the heavens and the earth? Bereishis Bara Elokim et Hashemayim ve'et Haaretz. So the Midrash tells us, Bishvil Rashis, Bishvil Yisrael Shenikra Rashis, Bishvil HaToyra Shenikra Rashis. Hashem created the earth because He wants Am Yisrael to exist. He wants the Torah, the Holy Torah, to be studied. And these are the words that we say we should say, says Reb Chaim Vital, during our fight against Yishmael. And this fight against Yishmael is something that Hashem will not allow Am Yisrael to be destroyed, Chas v'Sholom. And as a matter of fact, it's well known, documented from Rabbi Yankif Emden in the Hakdomatis. Siddur Rabbi Yankif Emden says that the greatest miracle is the existence of Am Yisrael, the fact that we still exist. After all this time, almost 2,000 years in Golos, and we're still here to talk about it. It's not just Rabbi Yaakov Emden. The Choyves HaLevavos, who preceded Rabbi Yaakov Emden by hundreds of years. He writes in his Shaar Bechina, an answer to a question that's asked by many. Why is it, if the Rabbeinu Shel Olam made miracles, we read in the Torah HaKadosha, all the biblical miracles, Kriyas Yamsuf, Mon, Be'er, and then the miracles that took place during Yeshua, and so on, how come we don't see any miracles today? So says the Choyves HaLevavos, open your eyes! The existence of Am Yisrael is the greatest miracle! Im yirtze odom lirois bezman hazeh nisim. Hadoimim nisim shenazel avoseinu. You want to see a nes similar to Kriyas Yamsuf? Open your eyes. The fact that we exist as a nation today is the greatest nes. Ki umeinu bein umois. But he adds one line more than the Yankif Emden. He says the greatest ness of the existence of Am Yisrael is during the time of battle, during the time of war, bizmani melchama. And he says, Efshir sheyu toiv mein yenehen bizmani melchama. During the time of war, in our days, in Golos, and we're able to be victorious, Be'ezus Hashem, it's a greater ness than in the times of Yeshua or the times of Moshe. We don't have Moshe lifting up his hands. We don't have Yeshua with the Avonim, causing the Avonim to come down from Shemayim. We have to use, it would seem like we use regular defense mechanisms or offense mechanisms, guns and tanks. And still we could be victorious. and we're saved. That's the greatest miracle possible, says the Chovas HaLevavos. That is the time that we're living in. And this is the battle that we're living through. We have to therefore be machazik, strengthen ourselves, and do what we can to make sure that this will take place quicker. Limud HaTorah is one of the tools. We're in a yeshiva, so the yeshiva boys learn Torah all day. Like we said, they're on the front lines. But it's Limud HaTorah is for everybody. It's a requirement for everyone. Everybody has to pitch in. Everyone has to have a kavius, kemavur and shulchan aruch. And that Limud HaTorah is going to save us. Well-known Baal HaTurim, the Baal HaTurim says, if there's one Talmud Chacham, one person who's well-versed in Torah, one person who studies Torah, ben arboim elef, ein tzrichem loy mogein v'loy roimach, ki Talmud Chacham megen aleim ha'eveyem. One Torah scholar who learns Torah is like 40,000. And the truth is, if a person, if there's enough Torah being learned, says Baal HaTurim, there is no need for armaments and for defense systems. Torah is the greatest defense system possible. That's our responsibility. We could be thousands of miles away. It doesn't matter. It's going to help. Our tefillahs are going to help. Our tefillahs are like an intercontinental missile. Doesn't matter where we are. They can reach the enemy and destroy. Our Torah is the same. And then there's one other thing. The Mishnah says in Ovois that there's a character trait, there's an attribute known as Noisei Ba'oil Im Chaveroi, to carry a burden with a friend. You know, those who ask, and it's a legitimate question, and it's understandable. How can I feel the pain of the people in Eretz Yisrael? I'm living here in Minnesota. It's beautiful here. It's quiet here. You, at night, you can barely see where you're going. It's so quiet, dark and serene. I don't hear the bombs bursting. I don't hear the missiles landing. How can I feel the pain? Rabbosai, if someone has a brother 2,500 miles away, and he knows that his brother is suffering, does it make a difference? The fact that he's living on a different continent? My brother's in pain, my brother's suffering. My brother's in captivity. What's the difference? The whole debate arose. Should you look at the videos? Should you not look at the videos? Och and vey. Why should I have to look at the video just to get myself involved in the pain? I can't feel my brother's pain without that video from those wild animals. I don't know what it means to suffer. Noisha ba'olam chaveroi. So somebody can ask, okay, so I'm supposed to carry the burden. What am I going to do? What should I do? Walk around with sackcloth? What's it going to help? Is that going to destroy the enemy? If I fast, is that going to help? Is that going to destroy the enemy? How did Reb Chatzka Levenstein look at it? What did he say? Reb Chatzka Levenstein, the holy Mashgiach from Ponovich Emir, he says, what is the concept of Noisib Oilam Chaveroi? Kikashi Yehudi Echod Mitzhtatev Bitzari Shal Chaveroi. When there's one Jew who joins in the pain and suffering of another one, Goyrem sheyeridu yisurim echaveroi. It causes that the yisurim, the suffering, goes away from the other Jew. It goes away from the friend. It works. Afilum chaveroi eini yodeshu mishtate betzaroi. That poor person in captivity doesn't know that I exist. So what does it make a difference if I fast on Monday for his release? He doesn't even know. How is it going to help? So if the Chatzkel, it's a metzias. If someone's carrying a load and someone else comes along and helps him, so it takes off 50% of the weight. If there's a yid, be it 2,000 miles away, who bears the burden, whatever it is. Reb Chatzkel Levenstein, he had on hugger during times of war. He would abstain from foods that he liked to eat, if there was such a metziah. I don't know if there was any food that Reb Chatzkel liked to eat, but that's what it says here. He abstained from eating good food. Vavas helped us. So since he doesn't eat good food, so therefore they win a battle on the Muhammad. Yes, that's how it works. You take away 50% of the tzorah. I had a grandfather who was a rav in a small town in Massachusetts, but he was a Talmud of Slabodka, and he loved music, classical music and chazanos. But my father, the tzal, told me, whenever we came to the house, he never listened. He had records, the old LPs, stacked up, but he was never listening to music. So my father said, once the Second World War started out, he had returned to America already before the war. And once he heard about the atrocities taking place in Poland and Lithuania, he said he's not going to listen to music anymore till the war is over. And the rest of his life, he couldn't listen to music. Because he knew that Yidden had suffered 30, 40 years ago. He couldn't bring himself to enjoy the music anymore. He felt Tzveita Yid, and his feeling helped. Who knows how much it helped, but it helped. We have that responsibility. Whatever it is, something to abstain from some type of enjoyment, and that will help take away the tsar of our brethren in Eretz Yisrael. Going back to the Haftorah that we're going to read on Shabbos, and to conclude, even though the Pasuk says that Berega Kotoin Azavtich, like we mentioned before, the Vanshim removed his protection for a moment and came a Shetzef of Ketzef. However, the Navi continues, Uberachimim Getoilim Akapzeich, Uberchesed Oilom Michantich. There's two halves of the Pasuk. The first half is Berega Kotan Azavtich, but right afterwards it says, Uberachimim Gedoilim Akabzeich. The first half of the Pasuk is Beshetzev Kesef, Istati Ponai Rega. But the second half of the Pasuk is Uberchesed Oilom Michantich. We should be Zoicha to see. We saw the first half. Boy, did we see the first half. But we should be zeichet to see, just like there's no hefsik in the pasuk between the first half and the second half. Gleich, right afterwards comes the rachamim. Right afterwards comes the chesed. We should be zeichet that to see the rachamim gedolim and the chesed gadol that's going to come from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. We're going to help. We're going to do our part. We're going to do our duty. And the Rebbeinu Shel Olam will send a Yeshua, Tzaveh Yeshua, it's Yaakov, with Rachamim and with Chesed, and it's going to be B'mheir B'yameinu.